T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMC-FM and HD1, KGMC San Francisco, the Radio.com sports station. Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome to your Friday. Final 2 hours of the Damon Bruce Show. Matt Kolsky is joining us. We got you to 7 o'clock tonight. Later this hour, the man, the myth, the legend, one of the biggest, worst decisions the 49ers ever made was not giving Frank Gore some goal line touches in a Super Bowl. The ramifications of that decision have reached far and wide. I think they win that game. Frank Gore's still here. Jim Harbaugh's still here. Colin Kaepernick is probably still here. And who knows? Who knows? Who knows what this franchise would look like, but it feels like a fork in the road moment. The 49ers turned away from Frank Gore. He is still cranking out yardage, and he's going to join us at 5:30. Frank Gore, who's going to be in San Jose this weekend for an autograph signing session. So we will give you all the details on that at 5:30. We're going to have it taken into the tweets coming up at 6:30 tonight. We already had a fantastic conversation with Warrior head coach Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr, replay coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. In case you missed it, there is a bona fide piece of news from Steve, and it's not news that I wanted to hear about Kevin Durant going into Oklahoma City.
I would say it's doubtful. He's officially questionable, so I guess that's the word I should use. I'm downgrading him to doubtful. I just think that a couple of extra days makes too much sense, especially, you know, at this stage of the season. If this were a playoff game, for sure he'd be playing. We want to be extra cautious, so I'm guessing San Antonio will be his first game back, but we'll see how he feels tomorrow. It's up to him and to Rick tomorrow after shoot-around.
By missing just one more game, you buy him 72 more hours of recovery. The Warriors don't play again until Monday. They got a back-to-back Monday, Tuesday. And I also asked Steve if there would be a little load management. He said that's not out of the question coming up for either DeMarcus Cousins or Andre Iguodala or Sean Livingston, which means Durant's probably going to have to be hands on deck for back-to-back. Give him 72 more hours. It makes sense. I know we already told some cupcake OKC jokes, but it is the right thing to do, and there shouldn't be a single decision made that doesn't have the playoffs in mind.
That's what it all comes down to for this team. What do they do? Because they can't accomplish anything in the regular season.
Andrew Bogut will be joining the team when they get back to Oracle Arena. He will not be joining them on the road trip. He will be landing, though, in the Bay Area tomorrow, and they're not going to put him through any more long airplane rides until they get back to him, which is probably the right way to play that out. Hopefully, the Warriors can keep rolling with the energy that they had in Houston against Oklahoma City. And I know, as you said, there are no statements for the Warriors to probably make in the regular season. It is no longer their proving ground. You go to Houston, and then you go to Oklahoma City. You win both those games without Kevin Durant. If that doesn't put the Warriors right back on the NBA's middle of their radar, nothing will. I mean, those would be statement victories.
It's as big a statement as you can make anyway. And at a certain point, even if all it accomplishes is avoiding 3 more days of radio hosts asking what's wrong, that's probably worthwhile.
Sold.
If that's the only thing that a win in Oklahoma City does for you, still probably worth it.
Probably worth it. Meanwhile, the tough atmosphere, you can expect it, Draymond Green.
It's a tough atmosphere, but obviously as a competitor, you know, you enjoy tough atmospheres, and there's no better feeling than going in a tough atmosphere and coming out with a win, so you look forward to that.
There you go, a little tough atmosphere, hopefully brings out the best in the Warriors. Feels like the best of the Warriors get pulled out of them this season on the road rather than at home.
I think we just have a different level of focus. You know what it takes to go in and win on the road. Sometimes at home you kind of just relax and think, oh, we're at home, we're going to win. On the road, you know what it takes to win, and you know we've been able to play with the type of intensity that it takes and focus that it takes.
So the Warriors are set up for a very interesting weekend indeed. Tomorrow's game should be an awful lot of fun. We need to share with you disappointing news from the NFL indeed. The Kansas City Chiefs can't be happy to let you know that Tyreek Hill is once again under investigation for alleged battery. This is a story that broke about an hour before we took the air this afternoon. The Chiefs confirmed to the Star that indeed a police report from the Overland Park Police Department about a battery incident that also lists a juvenile as a victim. And that juvenile could be Tyreek Hill's own son. We don't know details on this. I don't want to go speculating anything. This is obviously a very, very sensitive situation. But Tyreek Hill obviously has priors on him. Those priors have involved the improper treatment of women, certainly. And if this is now a situation where he has done something to his own child, I just think that Tyreek Hill's time in the NFL could be ending faster than he actually can run a 100-yard dash.
Yeah, and this will have a major effect on the league, and I know that's not the cynical perspective anyone wants to hear when you hear news like this, but ultimately, but we don't know enough to comment on the actual news. It's hard to say, and we don't want to speculate with an incident of this seriousness. So really, the natural, especially as sports radio people, the natural question is, well, what does this mean to the league and the team? And the answer is quite a lot. This is an incredibly impactful player, both league-wide and for one of the best teams in the league.
Well, and the amount of people who will plant their flag in the, well, he should have never been signed in the first place, you're going to hear that. The amount of people who will then overcorrect and say, well, you can't stop eliminating opportunities from someone's life once they've made a mistake and have technically gone through the legal process to have paid for it, completed their probation, and it's hard to argue with that as well.
It is.
So it's just it's a situation that obviously the NFL would more than like to sidestep, but it looks like they're going to be running into this whether they want to admit it or not. The other NFL story today might involve Colin Kaepernick in an actual football capacity. The Miami Dolphins have traded Ryan Tannehill to the Tennessee Titans. So this now opens up Miami with a clear need at quarterback, which Jason LaCanfora said could involve considering Kaepernick. Kaepernick's camp has already said that they would be eager to check this out. Their boy has stayed frosty and ready. He's ready to go. So I don't know if that is more realistic, and I didn't even think of that. Like, when you handed me the Jason LaCanfora is considering Colin Kaepernick for this opening, I'm bringing it to Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen, if you believe Kyler Murray is going to go number one overall, is a guy who just had a rookie year, is in a rookie deal, has as much value of an NFL rookie quarterback salary as can be provided. And Josh Rosen in Miami doesn't sound like the craziest landing spot if the Arizona Cardinals really move on from him after 1 year and take Kyler Murray number one overall.
I'll tell you what, if I'm any NFL team besides the Cardinals, I'm certainly calling about Josh Rosen. He was the 10th overall pick last year. He's 22 years old. He's had a different offensive coordinator for like six straight years going back through his entire college career. And there were at least a handful of draft analysts who thought 10 was a steal in the draft. And you're telling me now maybe he costs a second or third round pick? Everybody should be kicking tires on that. Why not?
You know, it's funny. I asked John Clayton about him, and I got an incredibly negative response from John Clayton about who he thinks Josh Rosen is and doesn't like necessarily his attitude or heard that the team might not have rubbed the wrong – might have rubbed some people the wrong way. I also heard things out of Arizona where he was really a good teammate and was liked by his locker room. I'm going to tell you right now that Josh Rosen should be evaluated by one thing. I don't care if he kicks – kittens when no one's looking. That guy, and I like cats, don't I? Obviously I don't mean that, but that guy had the worst offensive line you could imagine. I mean, he had defensive ends collapsing his tackles on every pass protected snap, and I don't know who would have been successful. I don't know what quarterback goes to Arizona to have a good rookie year. And remember, How good were the Cardinals last year? They fired their head coach. So that's the situation Rosen was in. I think there's something there. The arm talent is clearly there.
I must say something that might just make me sound like a jerk. But
why stop now?
Yeah. I think there's a pretty established history in the NFL with this, and it tends to come up with quarterbacks, and certainly Aaron Rodgers is a name that comes to mind. There is a segment of the NFL, and it is not a small segment, that does not like intelligence. Especially in a player.
Yeah. Yeah. Too much independence, too much intelligence, too much creativity, too much other interest. These are red flags for some teams.
And that's what Josh Rosen looks like to me. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be a great quarterback, but I do think a lot of the criticism of him amounts to me no like smart guy.
I think that that is a... There's an awful lot of that behind. Yeah. There's an awful lot of that behind the evaluation that he is put under. So, if we'll suspend any disbelief that Josh Rosen might be on the move, this now opens up Kyler Murray to the Arizona Cardinals, which is not a leap of faith that you really have to make. He is the number one, according to Las Vegas odds, shot of going number one overall. Maybe that's just Las Vegas fading the public after so many NFL rumors have him going number one. It feels like a sure bet, and then you get okey-doked. Maybe that's all in play. Let me ask from a 49ers standpoint, what scenario would you be more comfortable in? Kyler goes number one to Arizona, and the pick that could be Nick Bosa slides right to you, and it's a no-brainer. You take the player, you like him, he's ballyhooed, you're good with it, it's a position of need. Or would you rather have Arizona going full okey-doke, they take Bosa, now Kyler Murray falls to you, and you got the biggest trading chip in the draft. As a Niner fan, what do you want to see happen? I guess part and parcel to the way you would answer that question is this. How much do you or would you actually fear playing Kyler Murray twice a season? Because that's what's coming up. If Kyler Murray's landed in Arizona, he's your headache two times a year, 49ers fans. Would you rather deal with that headache? Would you rather have Bosa? Would you rather Kyler Murray fall to you and now you can play let's make a deal with all these other teams in the NFL who might be interested in him?
I think the more I think about it, the more I'm leaning towards I'd rather them take Bosa. Because my instinct for a long time was, man, Bosa has been the number one prospect in this draft for 3 years. That's probably the guy you want. But the more I think about it, the more I remember we're terrible at scouting college football players for the most part. As a society, we're not good at this. Busts happen all the time. And if I'm looking at a draft where there's five or six potential edge rushers that are rated highly by various people, I'm starting to come down on the side that I would rather be able to trade that pick and get more value and one of the other pass rushers who odds are could end up being just as good as Bosa versus pin all my hopes on Bosa. And then if he turns out to be the one that's poorly scouted and it ends up getting hurt or doesn't turn out to be the stud he's expected to be, I'm not hedged with extra picks. If I do that with Rashawn Gary, if I do that with Montez Sweat, I've got a couple other picks to say, well, at least I also got this out of number two. So I think I'd rather have Murray fall and be able to trade that pick for value.
Damon, no way on Murray. Running quarterbacks don't win. They disappear. Kyler Murray is a quarterback that can run. He is not a running quarterback. And if you'd like this to support that fact, how about this? He was the highest rated pocket passer in college football last year. The highest rated passer in between the tackles, staying in the pocket. And he also has the greatest yards per average, better than Michael Vick, better than any running quarterback in the history of the NCAA. So you get the best pocket passer there is, and then if he has to escape the pocket, you also get a running back.
Yeah, and if you're looking at the NFL for guys who are pocket passers that can also run, how do you like Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes? How are they working out?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I think a team getting the next Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes will feel pretty good about what they've just gotten. Wilson probably a better comparison from the height standpoint, but I do think there's a question with Murray. Is he Russell Wilson or is he Doug Flutie, right? Is he small but effective, or is he just maybe a little too small to be effective? We'll find out.
These are legitimate questions that everybody in football is asking themselves. Did you notice he did not measure at his pro day?
He did.
He weighed in.
He weighed.
But he was not measured again.
Hey, once you get the 5'10 plus, you're good. Never measure the height again. It's like, you know, once you win that one fantasy, what was it, a fantasy football thing we were talking about earlier?
Good night, Irene.
Yeah, you don't need to participate anymore.
You're not going to see me ever again. I'm going to take the money. I'm going to go home.
Oh, they said I was 5'10"? Great. Let's stick with that.
5'10", 1/8".
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's a big eighth.
Hey, yeah, it's a huge eighth. 888-957-9570. This is a pro big eighth show.
Yeah,
generous weights. We always love that around here. You know, you talked about the inefficiencies of just draft nicks and the amount of guys who bust out. The one thing that I will say in all draft nick defense, and we have just so many seasons of this just proving it, in any, like, it, there are a lot of sports where you can see the talent, you can identify the talent, and on some level you can plug and play it at the next level. I don't think there's any sport that does a better job filing away who can and who can't than football. Like, nothing proves that you are going to be good in the NFL other than playing in the NFL. The amount of Heisman Trophy winners, stud prospects that this league has spit out time and time again is, I mean, you almost can't get angry at anyone for missing on draft picks because it's more common than you hitting on draft picks.
Yes. And to your point, the moving parts at the NFL level are just a little different. Like, you see a guy play basketball, you can tell if he can play basketball. And in fact, I would argue that most of the time NBA teams have huge busts, not always, but most of the time, it's because they talk them into a guy who actually isn't any good at basketball. Right? It's Darko Milicic where they say, oh, but did you see him run and jump and he's only 17 and he is worth the number 2 overall pick. And they didn't bother to say, yeah, but is he any good at basketball and does he even want to play? Right? With football, the actual strategy and, I don't know, the scheme concerns make such a bigger difference that it's sometimes just hard to project.
It feels like in basketball, you're only drafting for a higher ceiling than you see, where in football, you would think, all right, I have a clear understanding of this ceiling, and potential is no longer the issue. I need talent that can play for me tomorrow, where potential, unrealized potential, is enough to get you drafted by an NBA team.
Sure. Yeah. Thon McCur. It's enough to get you drafted top 10. By
McCurr,
an NBA
not
team.
Maker? Not Thon Maker?
There has been some debate, but my understanding is McCurr is the correct pronunciation.
Touche.
Yeah.
Touche.
Who knows?
888-957-9570. The one guy that you could see coming was Frank Gore. There's no doubt about that. He was a stud at Miami. If he hadn't blown an ACL out, Willis McGahee doesn't happen, so he actually opened the door for another stud. Gore gets healthy, the 49ers pick him, and obviously he writes the record books here with the Niners. He's going to be in San Jose signing some autographs this weekend. Frank Gore is going to join Kolsky and I coming up next for a little hey, how are you, with a guy that really is, I believe, maybe more than any other moment other than like, oh, you know, the catch, Joe Montana, Dwight Clark, that happened and it changed the course of the franchise's entire history. If that is the biggest fork in the road this team has ever faced, I think first and goal and not giving Frank Gore the ball is the other fork in the road that this franchise has faced, and almost the polar opposite of the catch, where everything after that seemed to go well. Everything since not giving the ball to Frank Gore at the Superdome has seemed to go wrong.
It really is the most staggering decision. Even just hearing you say it, because I remember, but sometimes you forget, first down. And you'd never find a way to get the ball to Frank Gore.
Three straight fades to Crabtree.
It's
three
Straight up, what?
It's unthinkable. Yeah. Three opportunities and your best player never gets the ball.
Damon, don't forget about Clinton Portis. Oh. Who could? By the way, do you know what Clinton Portis's nickname was with the Washington Redskins?
Goofy?
No. Booty do.
Okay, that's about right.
You want to know why? Because his belly sticks out further than his booty do.
Really?
Swear to God.
Wow.
Booty do.
Booty do. All right.
Why do you call him booty do? Well, it's because his belly sticks out further than his booty do.
That's tremendous.
That's pretty funny.
Phenomenal. 888-957-9570. Frank Gore is coming up. We're going to ask you, because I know not all of you, especially on a Friday happy hour where a few of you probably already had a few since it is St. Paddy's weekend starting. Not everyone has time to call a radio show. We understand. We concede. Everyone has time to send a tweet. And I'm going to put up the flag right now because tonight at 6:30, we will be taking it to the tweets. It's been a really long time since we've done that. So we're going to open the floodgates asking you to use the hashtag to the tweets. That is numeral to the tweets. You put it there. It all gets aggregated.
Also possibly aggravated.
So we don't get aggravated by our good friends over at Twitter, and then we can all enjoy it together. So go ahead and you go ahead and send us that tweet right now. You can either hit at Damon Bruce, at Gianna, at Matt Kolsky, but like I said, just use the damn hashtag numeral to the tweets, and we will have all of that coming up at 6:30. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we had a fantastic conversation with Steve Kerr. In case you missed any of it, we'll have that for you at 6. We'll be taken to the tweets at 6:30. I want to invite you to join me and our morning show host, Joe Fortenbaugh, coming up on Tuesday, because you know what also is happening on Sunday besides drunk people? Selection Sunday, which used to be sacrosanct for me, which used to be one of my favorite days of the year, is now like a root canal thanks to my underachieving Hoosiers. I don't think they're going to go dancing. They don't deserve to go dancing. If they do, I don't even think I can root for them. That's how angry I am. Wow. By the way, that's a total lie.
That's obviously a total lie.
For them.
Showing up on Thursday wearing candy striped pants, for goodness sakes. But anyways, you can join me and Joe Fortenbaugh on Tuesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Damon, how are you off the air at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday? It's because the Warriors got those East Coast back-to-backs Monday, Tuesday, next week, which means I'm going to be on with Bonte and then doing a half an hour before I cut out on Tuesday to head over to BMW San Francisco, where they're having their fifth annual Ultimate Bracket Challenge. You can come enjoy food, drinks, plus a chance to win a $1 million prize for the perfect bracket. Good luck. Don't bank on it. Get tips from the pros, and if that's supposed to mean me and Joe, good luck. And fill out your bracket with 95.7 The Game in BMW San Francisco. Full details for you if you didn't write any of that down. Full details at 957thegame.com. Larry in San Francisco. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Damon. How you doing, man?
Very well, thank you.
Hey. Oh, man, dude, I don't know why everybody's tripping on the Niners. I thought the Niners did really good in free agency. You know what I mean? We slammed it on the defense. You know, hopefully we get us another stud pass rusher. And I think we're going to be fine.
I hope you're right, Larry. I really do. And again, I'm going to bite off Matt's well-said statement that I think explains his position and my position at the same time. It's not that I don't like what they did. I don't like what they didn't do more than I like what they did. And we talked to Brian Baldinger earlier, who said, look, Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham are put your best offer on the table talents. Did the Niners put their best offer on the table? Did they let another team take a true game changer away? And before you send me, and I just feel somebody typing it right now on their phone, before you send me the no high paid receiver has ever been the Super Bowl champion or the clear number one or this, the that, the other thing. Again, Phil Mickelson never won a major until he did. So eventually, you know, a 16 never upset a one.
Who's the greatest?
Until it happened.
Who's the greatest winner in basketball history, Damon?
The greatest winner in basketball history, percentage wise, looks wise.
No, I'm just saying, if someone asks you who's the greatest winner in basketball history, it's Michael Jordan, right?
Well, I was going to say Bill Russell.
Okay, Bill Russell probably would have worked. I wasn't around then. I can tell you for a fact, in 1990, Michael Jordan couldn't win the big one.
Couldn't. Maybe wouldn't.
Right.
Right. So, things do change in sports, which is why we keep on tuning in.
That's right.
There's no way the Golden State Warriors were ever going to be taken seriously. Oh, did I say that? What I meant was greatest basketball team of my lifetime.
Exactly.
That's what I mean. So things do change in sports. No doubt a doubt it. Come on back. Do you see what I did right there? You like
yes,
that, Gianna? Gianna, I see you giggling, which is good because you've got to be ready to go. Here she is. We've got someone says here, hey, Damon, Frank Gore is God.
Well, agreed.
Your deity is joining us next. We're really looking forward to that. Right now, though, speaking of deities.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Good to have you back here on the Damon Bruce Show. Matt Kolsky riding shotgun today, as he has all week. And we're really, really happy that we get to talk with our next guest. You know, the 49ers, in my mind, they removed their soul, their heartbeat, their leader, and one of the most important players in team history when they decided to part ways with future Hall of Famer Frank Gore. He is everything a football player, a teammate is supposed to be. And he is teaming up with Sinbad Sports to head to San Jose for a VIP autograph signing Saturday, March 16th from 11 to 2 at the World of Sports. You can pick up tickets at www.sinbadsports.com. Frank Gore, who has just signed a new deal with the Buffalo Bills, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Frank, it is great to have you on. You have been missed in the Bay Area every single day you've been gone.
Man, I miss it out there too, man. You know, but man, nothing but love. I love all my fans, man.
And who's shouting behind you there?
Oh, that's my boys, my kids, man. You know, they're just getting out of school.
It's unbelievable, man. You got kids now. I hear you got a kid who is officially getting scholarship offers.
Yeah, my junior, Lil Frank. They've been doing great, man. I just tell him to keep working, man. Keep his head down, and you know, just keep believing in himself, and he'll be fine. You know, but he been tearing high school ball up.
That's fantastic, man. Also, a running back like his daddy.
Yeah, running back. He do everything. He can do everything on the field. He got a great chance. He got a great chance. As long as you just keep working and, you know, believe in yourself, he'll be fine.
I know I'm officially getting old when the sons of players that I've rooted for are now going to college to play college football.
Oh, well, I probably just started early. You know, you never know. It ain't that. Sometimes, you know, when you're younger, you start early. I had them, you know, 17 in high school, you know. No, I just started early. That's all.
That makes me feel better. I know that. It's year.
That's what I'm saying.
Year 15 for you, Frank. So 14,748 yards. Obviously, nothing left for you to prove in the NFL. So what keeps you going? What makes you want to play a 15th year?
You know, I still love it. You know, I'm still having fun, and I'm still balling, man. You know, I'll be 36 in May, and I'm still showing them young boys that I still can do it. So,
oh, yeah.
No, if I still can do it, why not do it? You know, if I feel like if I would have played early on, you know, last year, I probably would have broke 1,000 before I got hurt, you know. But I'm having fun, and I still love the game still, you know.
By the way, there hasn't been a single 49er running back to crack 1,000 yards since Frank Gore. You're now fourth on the all-time rushing list, and next up is Barry Sanders. What would that mean to you personally to pass Barry Sanders?
It would be real big. You know, you got to think about my, you know, coming out of college, and when I got drafted in the third round, you know, Scott McCoy drafted me to come to 49ers third round. You know, they was dogging him, saying that they reached for me, and, you know, they're telling him that I won't be in the league no longer than 2 or 3 years. And hey, look at me now, man. I've been blessed to be playing. I'm still playing at year 15. And, you know, and I've been very successful in the NFL, so it's a blessing. It would be a blessing.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up about when you were drafted, because I know knee injuries were a part of that, I believe, and you fought through a few of those in your career, if I'm not mistaken. And that's a big topic around here lately, because the Niners just signed Quan Alexander coming off an ACL. And I'm just wondering, as someone who's been through that, when you see players around the league coming off an ACL tear sign a big contract like that, do you think, man, he's got a long road back? Or is the medical technology at a point now where...
It depends if he love the game and he love what he do and respect what he do, and, you know, and want to get back to that level of dominate, you know, he'll do it, you know. But if he don't love him, he just playing for the money, you know, he won't, and then the organization will look bad. But, you know, I kind of played against that guy. He's a hell of a player. He's a fast guy, and, you know, he made a lot of big plays before he was injured. You know, we got the same agent. So I think, you know, by me playing with him, I think he loved it again. I think he'll be fine.
Frank Gore here on 95.7 The Game. And all I can tell you is I think that not giving you the ball on the goal line in 2013 has changed this franchise's history ever since. I think they give you the ball, you score late, you win the Super Bowl, you're still here, Harbaugh's still here, everything changes.
And I won it, and I probably would have got the MVP, right?
I think so. I would have given it to you.
Yeah, but it's all good, man. Things, you know, it didn't happen. You know, I wish we would have won that Super Bowl. I probably wouldn't have been playing right now because, you know, that's one of the things I always wanted to do, won the Super Bowl, you know. But, man, I had a great time in the Bay Area. I had a great time with the 49ers, who were a great organization. And you know, the moves they've been making and the coaches, I really respect the coach they got there. You know, I'm sorry what happened to them last year because I think they got the right people in the building to have success, man. And I think, you know, once everybody get healthy, I think they will have success this year.
Frank, was it good to go and play in your hometown of Miami for a little while?
Oh, I loved it, man. You know, I got to be real because, you know, I'm from Miami and, you know, just I have my oldest son, you know, I haven't saw him play since he was 4 years old. You know, my first time seeing him play was in high school. My time seeing him play since he was 4 was in high school, and I went to a spring game, and, you know, I was nervous, man. You know, just seeing my son out there, and he balled out, man. He had 120, 30 yards, and I was like, man, you know, he can ball. So I was happy to be home, man. It was a great – I had fun out here in Miami. All my fans from college were showing me love, so it was great.
Now you go to Buffalo, and I'm wondering, you're going to be in a backfield with a very young quarterback. So how much of your role this year do you feel like, in addition to carrying the football, obviously, is kind of helping younger guys learn the ropes of the NFL?
I'm going to try to be me. You know, every year if I can be me, I feel like I'll be fine. You know, I'm going to go out there and try to be Frank Gore as I've been when I was in the Niners with the Colts and also with the Dolphins. You know, that's... Mm-hmm. Do whatever it takes to help my team win. And, you know, as long as I'm healthy and, you know, enjoying it, I'll be fine. You know, training my behind off like I will when it's time to go to get ready for the season. You know, I'll do good.
Man's led by example his entire career. Frank Gore is going to be in San Jose this weekend, Saturday. That's officially tomorrow, March 16th, from 11 to 2 o'clock at the World of Sports. For tickets, you can go to SinbadSports.com. Is your autograph hand ready to go? You loose up? You ready to sign hundreds of these things?
I'm ready to see all my fans, man. That's one of the best in the Bay Area, one of the best fan bases I've been around, man. They've been showing me love since the day I stepped in down there, man, in the Bay Area. And I'm happy to come back, and I miss them out there, man. I love them, man. I want to say thank you to all my fans for my whole 10 years there. I wish I could have came back, but it didn't happen. Hey, I still love y'all.
Frank, do you think that you're going to get together with any of your former teammates, like you and Joe Staley, going to go grab a beer?
Well, I call Joe. We talk. Joe talk a lot, you know, during the season. And we talk when I signed with Buffalo. He texted me and was very proud of me and told me, man, one of the reasons he's still going is because of me. And one of the reasons why, you know, how much we respect the game, man. The way we've been together, we had ups and downs. Like as a teammate, organization, and you know, we had good days, we had bad days. But you know, he say respect the way I play the game of football.
I got to tell you, this team hasn't been right since it said goodbye to you.
I see they haven't had a 1,000-yard rushing since I left.
No, they have not. No, they have not. And they haven't seen a winning season since you left either, I don't believe. Your endurance, your availability, just it's been a remarkable career that I think one day puts you in Canton. You'll go in as a 49er, correct?
Yeah, all day. I've been there 10 years, man. They were the ones that gave me the first opportunity to play in the professional league in the NFL, and like I said, coming out of college, I was injured, and they still gave me the opportunity to get to that level that I always wanted to get as a kid. But I got to go as a Niner, man. You know, I started there, and I'm gonna finish there when I'm done. Whenever I feel like I'm done, you know, I'm gonna come back and retire as a Niner. So, you know, I tell all my fans, I can't wait to see them, and I miss them, man.
Sounds like a number that deserves retiring. Sounds like a player that will be honored. And that number will be somewhere at Levi Stadium Sunday. Frank, it was great to talk to you. Have a good time in San Jose this weekend. And all the best to you in Buffalo as you continue with your Hall of Fame career, man. We miss you out here.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
And it's a first and goal. This time the Ravens defend it. It's Michael James from the gun. Rolling out, Kaepernick looking, firing incomplete. Crabtree.
One left.
Third and goal, now from under center. Kaepernick wins it. Smash. Incomplete is the call. That was Crabtree. 1:50 to play, and fourth and goal. Kaepernick lofts it in the air.
And that is how everything went wrong ever since that moment. Thanks so much to Frank Gore for joining us. It was great to talk with him. How about the fact that he said he wants to go in as a Niner? Of course he does.
How about that he volunteered? Not only do I want to go into the Hall of Fame, I want to come retire as a Niner.
Yeah, yeah. And if they say no to that... no one should ever go to a game down there ever again. All I can say, Frank Gore should be able to come on in, and they should name it Frank Gore Stadium, as they really should. I just think that saying goodbye to that guy, screwing up the end. But LaMichael James, LaMichael James.
By the way, that was the most productive play of that sequence.
The least significant guy in the – I mean, like, you can't find a running back who was supposed to do more who did less than LaMichael James. He got the first down carry, then three passes to Crabtree. How do you not boot out Kaepernick? Damon, why would you bring up sounds from the Super Bowl?
Fair question.
Look, you can't run from your past. And it's important to remember that, because that's the moment where the franchise took a turn that is not turned back from.
Well,
that is a fork in the road moment, man.
Hopefully they have, and it's just hard to see because of some of the stuff outside their control that's gone wrong the last couple years. Hopefully they actually turned that corner when they hired Shanahan and Lynch, and it's just they're in the middle of like a 5-point turn right now trying to get the thing actually pointed the right direction.
I hope so. It feels a lot more like the Austin Powers 64-point turn when he's trying to turn around in the hallway.
Beep, beep,
yeah.
Beep.
Let's go to Duke in the city. Duke, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Deep Pools and the great Matt Koski. You got Queen G in the house and Pluton Fix on, too. Deep Pools, you know I couldn't let the week go by without speaking to you. And you just had the great Frank Gore over there. You know what I mean? My family and I are longtime 49er fans, dating all the way back to Kezar. So that just meant a lot to me to hear him come on, Deep Pools. And he's a special kind of guy. And you know, I hope he retire as a Niner as well. But I called you to talk about this, D. You know, a lot. And you and I both, we talking about the Niners going to get A, B, pom-poms out for a minute, and the ODB and all that, and the other boy, Le'Veon Bell. But you know what? When I look at D, when I look at them, and I look at us as Niners, you know why the Niners didn't take them? The Niners didn't take them because character. Character. If you look at all three of those players, they have all of those guys have diva characteristics. You know what I mean? And the Niners, they really not about that. And once I thought about the players that they look at, all the players that they picked up, the Jordan Matthews, Joe Boyd from Indiana, Tevin Coleman, excuse me. And but those are all good high character players. And if we can win with high character players, I'm with that. You know?
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, I of course, if you can win with a group of choir boys, you want to go do that. But football rarely has a big group of choir boy winners. I mean, I think that every now and then you need guys who are on the fringe of what is right and what is wrong. And that same element that might make them an unproductive member of society makes them a very good football player. There is a devil may care, I don't care about consequences sort of wiring that great football players need, and hopefully they got a few of those on the team. But yeah, a good group of guys, there's no doubt, Duke. They're bringing in a good group of guys. Personally, not great talking to you as always, I'd rather have a whole bunch of misdemeanors and a playoff berth.
Yeah, but I do think, especially as we, it seems like as every year goes by, more and more people are willing to concede that chemistry and emotions and vibe and that sort of stuff does matter. Now, it doesn't matter much if you don't also have talent. But if you feel like there is some talent in place, and last year's disaster was more about injuries than just not knowing what they're doing, then I think there is wisdom in staying the course and sticking with guys that you do want to be around. There's nothing wrong with having guys you want to be around. It's just they got to be good as well.
You can start an NFL franchise today with Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo. Who you starting your franchise with today?
Today it's Baker. Today it's Baker. But I say that realizing that I could look like an idiot 8 NFL games from right now.
Sure.
So that's the problem. Is,
or you can look like you've made a great bet.
Exactly right. But right now, we just know so little about what Jimmy actually is, there's no way you could take him, given what we've just seen from Baker.
But admitting that we know so little about Jimmy Garoppolo, he was the highest paid football player in the history of the sport for a good hot minute there. And how about this? The 49ers have made a ton of bets, and they've lost big on several bets that they have made. If Garoppolo isn't the answer, I don't know how a single person with the team now has a credible voice going forward ever.
No.
Ever.
No. Because, ever. Because we know that Kyle Shanahan's behind that. We can talk about Lynch being the GM or whatever, but they only signed that deal with Jimmy Garoppolo because Kyle Shanahan says, that's my guy. And if you say, that's my guy, and you pay him big money, and it turns out he's not good, everybody loses all credibility.
Hey, Damon, you listen to Jed. It's all about winning with class. Winning with class. Well, here's the thing. You got a classy team. Now I need the wins.
That's right.
You can't lead the league in yes sirs, no ma'ams, and chair pulls and door holds.
And also losses.
And also losses, exactly. This is Javon in San Francisco. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
First-time caller. I just wanted to agree with the last caller. You know, he said he made some good points about us just going after high character players. And I just think everybody needs to settle down. I know it's a lot that we didn't go out and get those big-name players in free agency, but we're building something different. We're building something different here. And I got a lot of confidence in what these guys got going on. Now that I see the pickup of Tevin Coleman and Jordan Matthews, I'm excited to see what Garoppolo can do with these weapons now.
I also saw it today, and thank you very much for the call, Javon. You know, Matt Maiocco said that Raheem Mostert wasn't going to be going anywhere, and boy, he was right about that, because Raheem Mostert, 3-year extension with the 49ers today. So this is a four-headed backfield as it is right now. You've already had Shanahan talking about how Tevin Coleman was going to be a great complement to Jarrett McKinnon. Is Matt Breida somehow going to be the odd man out here? Is Matt Breida possibly a draft day trade or an asset to move now more than a player to reinvest in?
Or is there somewhat of a change in philosophy in terms of how many running backs you're willing to have active on game day? Because here's what I will say about all three guys. They're all viable, if not particularly good, pass catchers. And we've talked a lot about the shortage at the wide receiver position. Maybe sometimes you just straight up bring in Tevin Coleman as a slot receiver. He never even goes in the backfield. He just comes in and lines up as a slot receiver, runs a route like a receiver would. I think there's at least the possibility that all four of these guys, plus the fullback, are active on game day, and that would certainly be interesting.
Let's see what happens. I mean, I thought last year that they could have taken Juszczyk and used him as the second tight end.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen him line up and, you know, you go Big 12 down the field and there you are.
Or even when you think about some of the creative things Kyle Shanahan does, lining up with a heavy backfield and all of a sudden you got three running backs that can go outside and line up as wide receivers. Or, to your point, Juszczyk, who can move to a tight end spot. It seems like the sort of confusing movement and shenanigans, for lack of a better word, that Shanahan likes to engage in, I think you have even more possibilities now.
Can Garoppolo run the wishbone? 888-957-9570 is the number. The Warriors feel like they can shut up everybody who's been on them, riding them, me included, with another win in Oklahoma City. We already had Steve Kerr on today. Phenomenal. We're going to replay that for you in case you missed Steve. And then don't you forget, it's going to be time to take it to the tweets coming up at 6:30. This is a segment that only works when you participate in it. You got to shoot me a question. Shoot Matt a question, Gianna a question, any of us, but use the hashtag to the tweets so you can go ahead and make sure it's all aggregated in the right place. And then we are going to go ahead and give you a little segment. Anything that might be on your mind. Did you see this today, Gianna?
What's that?
That episode 3 of the upcoming season of Game of Thrones is going to be the huge battle of Winterfell.
Ooh.
And it is going to be the single longest battle scene in cinematic history.
Really?
With more special effects and more actual actors than were ever used to film any of the battle sequences in the movies Lord of the Rings.
Wow. That's
so
crazy. I cannot wait.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah. So if you have any questions about the long, dark night coming, we will also take that, too. No doubt about it. 888-957-9570. Before we come on back for our final hour with Steve Kerr coming up next, I do have this Kevin Durant sound to play for you. And this is not going to turn into bag on Kevin Durant. I'm not doing that today. He might not play in Oklahoma City. He was just sitting down in his new ESPN.com boardroom thing and was asked, I'm sure, the pre-approved question from Jason Williams about his burner accounts. And here's what Kevin Durant had to say about his burner accounts. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. And this is where I say, you make things harder on yourselves than they need to be. Here's Kevin Durant talking about the embarrassment that came along with him discovered to be using burner Twitter accounts.
Can you break down the burner account for me?
Because it broke the internet.
Yeah, I wasn't used to that amount of attention, you know, from playing basketball. I wanted a place where I could talk to my friends without anybody just butting in my conversations or mixing my words or taking everything out of context because I enjoyed that place.
How'd you come up with that idea, though? Were you like, yo, I'm just going to create this account, I'm going to start going?
Yeah, I mean, I had an Instagram account that I just used for my friends and family. Like, it was a cool place for me to just be me instead of worrying about Bleacher Report or Barstool, just mixing up anything I want to say to CJ or my friends from back home, you know? So I just try to, I guess I try to live a normal life out in the public, I guess.
Here's what it would have been a normal life move. If this was really invented for friends and family, I can't think of any other groups of people that I have their actual numbers in my cell phone other than friends and family. Why are you in a public space anonymously talking privately with friends and family?
I would say two things here. First of all,
just text.
If that I think I have a response for. But here's the thing I want to say before I try to respond to that from Kevin Durant's perspective, which is, clearly, part of the reason he had burners was to anonymously crack back at people who were talking trash about him. Clearly.
He couldn't even cop to it.
Fine. But I think some of that is real. Kids are texting their friends on Instagram. And I can't imagine a public person, for instance, I know public people in the media who have separate Facebook or Instagram accounts just for friends and family. So I kind of buy that, but let's not kid ourselves. Part of it was definitely cracking back at haters.
You know what they call the fake Instagram account? And this is real. Finstagram. You got to have your Finsta account.
I like it.
Wow.
Write that down. Coming up next, Steve Kerr joins us to tell you what happened so well in Houston, what he expects to happen in Oklahoma City. We'll also get into what happened in Utah with Russell Westbrook and a fan and ask whether or not fan-player interaction is at a crisis point, or are we just looking at one or two interactions and magnifying them to the point where we now believe it's a crisis point? That's coming up with Kerr. Then we're going to do a little to the tweets. So don't you go anywhere. One more hour coming up and on the way on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.